to you a little more about what we talked about this morning there in John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That is, abide in that love, the same love that the Father hath loved me. Abide, continue in that love. Now, I know that a man cannot do that in himself, and I'm not speaking to you as you are in yourself, but I do speak to you as one that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him we can, because all power, we have all power in heaven and earth in Him. And we can attain to this abiding in His love. It's not a this love is not stand by the warmth of the fire of this love and the next day grow cold and indifferent. That's not the way it is. It's not that the Lord Jesus loves you one day and then casts you out the next day. That's not that you couldn't abide in that love, but You abide in the same love, this eternal love that hath no beginning, that hath no ending. You're in it. Abide in it. He says too in John chapter 17, and in that last verse there of the 17th chapter, verse 25, the Lord Jesus addresses the Father in heaven in this way. He says, O righteous Father, O righteous Father. That's highly significant, O righteous Father. It's not heavenly Father. It's not dear Father. It's not blessed Father, but it's righteous Father. Righteous in the sense that God, according to His nature, according to who He is, cannot compromise. He cannot compromise His holiness. He cannot compromise His righteousness. His righteousness must be established. And He calls Him, O righteous Father. The world hath not known Thee. The world doesn't know Him. They don't know Him. He's a stranger. The God of the Bible is a stranger to the majority of the peoples of this world, to the majority of human beings. God's a stranger to them. They don't know Him. They don't even listen. They don't even avail themselves to a time and to a place where perchance they might hear something of Him. They're so distant from Him. The world hath not known Thee. They don't know You. But He said, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou sent Me. These little children. These that You've given Me here in this 17th chapter. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. They know You. They know You in Me. They know that You sent Me. They know that I am the express image of Thy person. They know that we as humankind were made in Your image. They know that in Adam we fell, but in this Adam we rise again. They know that. And I have declared unto them Thy name, what is his name? His name is O Righteous Father. He will not compromise his holiness. Justice must be satisfied. Sin must be punished. The law must be magnified and honored. Must be. God cannot be God if he compromises, and he makes no compromise. Judges of this world, and even people like you and I, we compromise our principles, but God does not compromise his. He will not compromise his justice, his holiness, his word. And he calls him, O Righteous Father. I have declared unto them thy name, O Righteous Father, and will declare it. I have declared it, and I will declare it. I'll continue to declare as God gives him opportunity in the providential mercy of God to stand and speak before the crowds, the multitudes. He will do what? He will declare his name, O Righteous Father. And you know, we've said, and the preachers say that we know, they say that the only way that a man can stand in good stead with God is that he must have a perfect righteousness. And to have that perfect righteousness is the righteousness that God provides in his Son, who wrought righteousness for us by honoring and magnifying the law, by his life, and by satisfying justice. I will declare it, and will declare it. Now listen, that the love, that's what we've been talking about, the love of God in Christ Jesus. You remember that verse, as the Father hath loved me, to the same measure, the same length, depth, height, and so forth. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, little children. Continue, abide in this love, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's what he says. Now the Lord Jesus, the Christ of God, the sent one, the Messiah, the Old Testament. Someone said, well, there's no Christ in the Old Testament. Why, there is. Moses knew the Christ in the Old Testament. Abraham knew him. Noah knew him. Enoch knew him. Enoch walked with him and was not, for God took him. It was in the Old Testament. All the offerings and all the sacrifices were but a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to his coming, to what he's going to do. And they believed, trusted him in the Messiah. Well, anyhow, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves each of his people. He's got a lot of people. Why, there, he's got people from every tongue, every kindred, and every nation in the whole of the earth. He's got some everywhere. And probably in every town, every county, and every state, and every country. He's got some people. There's lots of them. Not lots of them in light of the world's population, I don't believe. But he's got lots of them. And he's got lots of people who died in infancy. Babies who died. And they were quickened and regenerated. So he's got a lot of people. The Lord Jesus Christ loves each one of his people. All of them. With the same love that he loved his Son with. Let's try again. The Lord Jesus Christ loves each one of his people as much as if he had not one more. That's how much he loves. each one of His people. All of who He is, all the heart and soul and spirit of the dear blessed Redeemer goes out to each one of His people, big or small, ignorant or learned, each one of His, all of His heart's love goes forth. You understand that the sun in the sky, the great sun, shines today on this round earth. And while it pours out its limitless flood of sunshine or light upon all the inhabitants of this round earth, there may be one little insignificant violet that grows in some conspicuous place. That one little flower, one little violet, bathes in the sunshine of the sun. And it can say that the sun is all mine. That one little vine. And there's millions of flowers upon the face of this earth. All kinds of flowers in fields and in gardens and in conspicuous places. Yet this one little old vine possesses freely all that the sun can give. And so He is to you and me, each one of us, all His own. His love. His love. That's how great so we lose nothing by the fact that He is all and in all to millions of believers upon the face of the earth at the same time. We have all of Him, all of His love. You know what I'm talking about. When a father loves his child, he loves them if he's a good father. If he's a believing father, he loves each of his children with all of his love. He's not partial in that love. Now here in this 15th chapter and that 9th verse, there is two personal pronouns. There is I, and there is you. Where it says, as the Father hath loved me, so I love you. I and you. Now you notice what stands between the two. What is it? Love. Love stands between these two words. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself delighted in us. Even in us. Even in us. Sinners. Poor sinners. Miserable sinners. Filthy sinners. Dirty sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ delighted in us. Even in us who are not worthy to be named in the same day with Him. Not worthy to mouth His name in ourselves. Huh? Here in this verse of Scripture, it makes us to know just a little of the love of God to us, makes us to know. know a little bit of how He loves us and the durability and the extension of that love, what that love does for us. He here, our dear Savior, has paralleled His love to us with the Father's love to Him. As the Father loved me, so I love you. Exactly the same. No more, no less. 16 ounces to the pound. What kind of love was that? Well, I'll tell you, when we start talking about the love of God to His people, we're getting into deep water right now. I'll tell you that. You're wading in deep water. You're going to get clean up to your neck and maybe over your mouth. You may even drown in that ocean, that fathomless ocean, that sea of the love of God Almighty to His children. Each thought concerning the love of God to His people is like a hole in the middle of the earth that has no bottom in it. We know that the Father, God the Father, we know that He loved the Son without beginning. He tells us that. That's written in His book of books. And if we read this book of books aright, we'll come to see that He loved His Son without beginning. That means even from eternity. And we don't even know what eternity is. We mouth it and can say it real quick, but we don't know much about it. Because we can't comprehend anything that hath no beginning. Huh? In eternity. Listen, in that time. Listen to me now. In that time, before time began. That's eternity. In that time, before time began, His love went forth towards His people. Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Set His affections upon us. Give us elective grace in Christ. Now, in that time before time began, His love went forth and sweetly came home to our hearts, sweetly opened our understanding. It was not when we began to love Him. It didn't happen then when we began to love Him, not even when we began to be. Did the love of our Redeemer start or begin? It was even from eternity. From that time, when there was no time, before time began. Listen, it is not conceivable. Human mind cannot comprehend. It's not conceivable that there ever was a time when God the Father did not love His Son. I'm telling you, that's deep water, isn't it? Inconceivable. There never was a time when God did not love His Son with all His love. And neither is it conceivable to those who believe this book and who read this book right, that there ever could be a time when the Lord Jesus Christ did not love His people. Inconceivable. Oh, this ocean of love, mercy. We feel sure that the Father loves His Son without end. No end to His love. Doesn't go out to a point and stop. They said that some of them old explorers back centuries ago, when others said, we're going to try to sail around the world. Well, they said, you'll just get to a certain place and then you'll drop off. You'll just come to an end of it and you'll just drop off in a nabus of nothing. No end to the love of God. There's no dropping off with God. There cannot come a time when the Father will remove His Son from His heart of love. Banish the thought that God, who loved His Son with all of His love before time ever was, that there would come a time when God would dislodge, would banish, would cast out the Son of His love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Until that time, when the Father will remove the Son, that's the time He'll remove us. But that time will never come. We're lodged in the heart of hearts. And it's there for the long haul. It's there forever. When the stars refuse to shine and the sun has got a veil of blood over it, and the thunder and the lightnings come, He'll still love us. He is the unchanging. He's the unchanging Jesus. I am the Lord. I change not. If the Lord changed, we'd be consumed in His wrath. But He changes not. He changes not. There cannot come a time when the Father will banish His Son from His heart. And the unchanging Jesus will never cease to love His blood-bought people, His redeemed people, those that He sacrificed Himself in their stead and their place and their room. Bought them with the price of His blood. There'll never come a time when He'll cast them out. He said in one place in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, He said, I've graven your names on the palms of my hand. Says the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from me, nor will my covenant of peace be removed. That's the love of God to His people. And I can even go farther than that. I can make another step farther than that. He loves us so much that I certainly, I'm lost talking about it. But I know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, though this might sound like it's going too far, but it's the truth. Our dear Savior loves us more than He loves Himself. Now think of that. Because they said this about Him. They said, He saved others, but He cannot save Himself. See what I'm talking about? He saved others, but He cannot save Himself. The great and mighty love of the Lord Jesus Christ to make Him to be a sacrifice, the sacrifice for His people, that He might redeem them from under the curse of the law. His love, He loves unto the end with a love that has no end. That's the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is an ocean of love that has no shore and it has no bottom. It's a bubbling fountain, and it continues to bubble over and over perpetually, the love of God towards His people. If you have any doubts here this evening, you might doubt your love, but listen, don't doubt His love. His love is unchangeable. As a matter of fact, change is not in the vocabulary of God, much less in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's immutable. He cannot change. He can love us no more than what He does. And He can love us no less. He can love us no more. And He can love us no less. I'll tell you this. When that love is brought sweetly home to a man's self, proud self goes out when sweet love goes in and gives all the glory to Him who comes in, the Lord Jesus. A sweet sense of this love brought home to our heart will do many things for us. It'll calm us in the storms of life. It'll enable us to endure to the end. Did He not say, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved"? This is what will cause you and me to endure to the end. This sweet love shed abroad in our hearts of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. A sweet sense of this love will strengthen us to endure to the end. Make it to the end. There were some holy women over there in Scotland. A holy group of women, as well as holy men. But these holy women would not recant of their confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who He was and what He did. And so, these that hated our Lord and hated these holy women of Scotland, they drove stakes in the sand on the seashore and tied them to the stakes in order that they would drown by the incoming tide. Now, what do you suppose it was that made them so brave in their confession and in their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? It was nothing but the sweet sense of His love brought home to their hearts. There was men and women cast into that amphitheater in Rome among savage, ravenous lions. And it's never been said by history or anybody else that these men and women that was cast into this lion's pit to be ate up, it's never said that they cowered to these savage beasts. They didn't do it. They held their ground. Never made a whimper. Never made a whimper. There was no running, trying to hide behind one another. They stood their ground. They never asked mercy from that crowd who stood there with their eyes fixed upon their pain and their agony and their suffering. They never asked for an ounce of mercy. What do you suppose made them conduct themselves in such a manner? The sweet love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The I and the me stands between love. That's what will keep us going. That'll be what causes us to endure. It'll be the abiding in this love. You can't do much. If your definition of the love of God is He loves you today and casts you off tomorrow, that ain't no love. That won't help you any. That's what the Church of Christ people got, and that's what the Church of God people got, and that's what the Baptists got, and that's what the Methodists got, and the Catholics got, and the Mormons got. But the people of God has got an unquenchable love that never changes, that has no end. Endless. No bottom to it. Unchanging. Unchanging. Oh, no. Bible says that Enoch walked with God for many a year until at last he walked away with God and went on to be with God. My beloved is mine and I'm his. And until the day break and the shadows flee away, my soul will live on his love. And yours will. That's all we got. And that's all we want. And that'll stay you in good times. And it'll stay you in hard times. That's the good news, isn't it? There's no news like that news. Inconceivable, isn't it? You can understand why the natural man couldn't believe that. You can understand why men turn their backs on him. They don't know anything about this love. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed. What was the